Good evening. Some of you have heard this. I have mentioned this. It's old material. The pseudo-philosophical question that says, if a man says something in the woods, and there's no woman around to hear him, is he still wrong? I'm not saying for a moment that's the dynamic in our household. I don't want a long, quiet ride home. And you ladies who said, yes, you're actually thinking correctly in that the truth is not dictated by the hearer. Truth is either truth, and wrong is wrong. But it stirred some thought. Guys, would you be willing to be wrong? Would you be willing, guys, to take the blame? Gentlemen, would you be willing to forego your pride, to subordinate your will? Gentlemen, would you be willing to endure bad consequences for the benefit of your wife? And it got me thinking. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church. But to set aside everything and be willing to take on the wrong or the shame or the subordination of your own will, would you be willing to do that for your wife? And then Paul makes this illustration quite vivid. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she would be holy and blameless. In other words, Christ took on more than just wrong. He humbled himself to the nth degree. He was deity. And he humbled himself and became a man. That should have been enough. And then he humbled himself so that he might die for us. That should have been enough. But he didn't just pass away quietly in his sleep. That would have been substantial for me. But he even took on our punishment. And that explains what you see as you stand through the eye of the scriptures on Mount Calvary. For our sake, God made Jesus to be sin, who knew no sin. Now wait a minute. Jesus was the antithesis of sin. And God made him to take on sin as though he personified it. And then God, on Mount Calvary, punished that sin. And now we see what God thinks about sin. But Jesus committed no sin, and there was no deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, what did he say to those Roman soldiers? What was his prayer to God? He didn't say to them, y'all just wait till the resurrection. Father, forgive them. He did not sin. And even though threatened, he continued to entrust himself to God who judges justly. Jesus bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. We just sang a song. Jesus paid it all. Now here's this Bible church word. I don't think anybody used this week in a sentence. And I found a kid's dictionary that really made it clear. Propitiation is an action meant to regain someone's favor or to make up for something you did wrong. You might offer your mom a plate of chocolate chip cookies in propitiation for killing all her houseplants while she was away. Jesus offered something in propitiation for our sin, the sin that separates us from God. What did he offer? He offered up himself. God displayed publicly on Mount Calvary as a propitiation in Jesus' blood through faith. This was to demonstrate his righteousness because in the forbearance of God, he passed over the sins previously committed. Well, that's all those sins that happened before Calvary. How about us? Therefore, he, Jesus, had to be made like his brethren in all things. By God's standard of justice, Jesus had to be made like us mere mortal people, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. And Jesus is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. And in this is love, not that we love God, but that God loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. All the punishment, all the shame, all the guilt Christ took upon himself. The mystery is great. I'm speaking with reference to Christ and the church. Nevertheless, each individual among you is also to love his own wife as even himself, and the wife must see to it that she respects her husband. Love your own wife even as yourself, and the wife must see to it that she respects her husband. If you don't understand that, don't get married. But if you do not understand how Christ gave himself up and paid the total price so that you can have a relationship with him by having your sins covered with his blood, don't leave here tonight not understanding. And this is the time, every week on Wednesday, we extend and remind each other of the invitation that we have. Let's remember that Jesus paid it all.